Oh, let's love him right now. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, you are so worthy, God. You are so worthy. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you for your touch we feel here tonight, God. Hallelujah. We are so blessed. Oh, we are so blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a blessed man. I'm blessed to pastor Church of Pentecost. But folks, let me tell you something. There's some of you that are just white knuckle in the back of the pew. If you only knew what God had for you, if you just let go. The realm that God wants to take each and every one of us to in this church. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And folks, I don't believe that any of the disciples, or anybody for that matter, was in the upper room that day, would not let God use them. Anybody here want to debate that? God wants to use this church, each and every one of us. Amen? But sometimes we let pride keep us from being blessed of the Lord. Let go and let God. Come on. Come on. I'd like to see some here. Instead of always need to be prayed for, you pray for others. Come on. That shows maturity. I'm not mad. I'm just talking. I want what's best for you. And I know how God can bless you. If you say, here's a vessel, use it. God, use this vessel. Amen? Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I want to talk to you tonight about Pentecost promise. Pentecost promise. Acts 2, we're going to read verse 1 through 4, drop down to 12 and 18, and then go on down to And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? Others mocking said, these are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, being it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Acts 2:37-39. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Lord, thank you for your touch we felt here tonight. And Lord, I believe you want to continue to speak here and move in every heart and every life in this place, we pray. Let your will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Pentecost Sunday. Folks, what is Pentecost? The word Pentecost designates the 50th day after the Passover, which was at a feast day, also known as the Feast of Weeks or Feast of Harvest. It was on this day in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was poured out on 120 followers of Christ who were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem. It was on this day that the church was born in a blaze of glory. A man by the name of Jerry Vines wrote this. He said, "The average Christian and the average church are somewhere bogged down between Calvary and Pentecost. They have been to Calvary for pardon, but they have not been to Pentecost for power. Bethlehem means God with us. Calvary means God for us. But Pentecost means God in us." He said, "Those statements transform my understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the average Christian is much like the Ephesians believer when Apostle Paul came to them in Acts 19 and said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they replied that they did not even know that there was a Holy Spirit. Many Christians do not understand the role of the Holy Spirit, and they have not appropriated the power of the Holy Spirit in their own personal life." J.B. Phillips wrote something like this a few years ago. He said, "Churches today are fat and out of breath through prosperity. They are muscle bound through overorganization. What we need today is again the wind and the flame of Pentecost." Hallelujah. Folks, I think all of us would agree to that, don't you? Hallelujah. We need to recapture the power which was experienced in such a mighty way when the church met together in the upper room and the day of Pentecost occurred. Someone else said, "This is the day of Pentecost to substitutes. Lacking the real power and fire from God, we try to produce our own fireworks. We are like auxiliary power supplies, battery operated, so when the real power goes out, we can switch on our own power supply and manufacture our own. We are living in the day of program propaganda, pep and promotion, and all those things trying to duplicate what God, the Holy Spirit, did on the day of Pentecost when the fire fell and the wind blew. These are the days of Pentecostal substitutes. We create a storm of our own wind. We whip up our own flames and our own fire, but we lack the reality and the warmth of real things." This is the indictment against modern day churchianity. My heart is hungry to experience the power of Pentecost, the Spirit of God's fullness and manifestation. Vance Harder said, "The average one of us is so afraid of getting out on a limb, we never even bother to climb the tree." Come on. We're so afraid to get out on the limb that we don't even bother to climb the tree. That is true, isn't it? Through the years, we have seen abuse and misuse of spiritual gifts and the God's power. We are so afraid of the excesses. We are so afraid of those who go to extremes. Folks, we must not allow them to scare us from the real. We cannot afford to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And all I want all God has for the church and for Christians today. Come on, folks, we gotta want what God has for us. We gotta desire what God has for us. We gotta say, "God, whatever it takes, hallelujah, Lord, I'll get rid of my pride." Bashfulness is pridefulness. Well, I'm bashful. I'm shy. No, you're prideful. When you're afraid that people might make fun of you, when you're afraid somebody might laugh at you, you're prideful. Come on. You've heard me up here make mistakes. It happens. We're human. Peter made them. Huh? I just want God. I want all that God has for the church. So I want to talk about Pentecost, folks. I don't want to talk about denomination or Pentecostalism or not a holiness church or belief, but the special promises of the Father. Amen? Harvest is at the heart of Pentecost, is it not? Come on, folks. We have to see a harvest of the things of God. Hallelujah. The promise of Pentecost in Acts 2, 38, 39. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For that promise, hallelujah, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Come on, how about you? You want the promise tonight? You want what goes with the promise tonight? Power! In effect, what Peter said, this outpouring of the Spirit is not a special blessing for a special few or for a special age. It is for all who have truly repented and believe the gospel. It is for all who have found remission of sins in the blood of the Lamb. The real question is not whether as a Christian you have a right to the gift of the Holy Spirit, but whether you have claimed the right and availed yourself to this glorious promise of the Father, the Spirit, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Have you availed yourself to it? Have you claimed what is yours? Have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? You see, many have allowed the devil and they've allowed religious tradition to rob them of the power of God. See, religious tradition says that the gift of the Holy Spirit was for the apostles just to get the church started, or just for the early church to help them win pagans and heathens to Jesus Christ. But look, folks, there's more lost people, there's more lost pagans and heathens in the world today than there ever has been. We need the power of God today as much as they have ever needed it. Hallelujah. Amen. Peter, and the promise is unto you and to all who are hearing his voice, and to your children and the next generation and to all that are far off. That's throughout the ages. Even the 21st century to you and me, folks, it's for us today. Even for all who the Lord shall call. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for all people who receive the call to repentance. And since God is still calling men unto salvation, the promise is good now. So what was the promise? It was the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, both men and women. On the day of Pentecost, the crowd was amazed, folks, because of the miracle of tongues. They said, what in the world is going on here? These are uneducated people. These are Galileans. How can they speak this? Peter answered them in Acts 2, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Who made the promise? The Father made the promise. In Acts 2:33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Acts 1:4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. I ask you tonight, do you have the power? Give me a little monitor. Folks, this experience with the Holy Spirit is not some intangible, mystical experience automatically happens. Amen. Some people just assume that they have it, or they say a little prayer and then take it for granted that they are filled with the Spirit. In Luke 11:13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? I'm telling you tonight, you can have it. You can have the power. All you got to do is ask your Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dr. A.R. Torrey said, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a definite and a distinct experience. Hallelujah, greatly said. See, a Christian will know whether he has received the Spirit or not. Jesus commanded that his disciples wait in Jerusalem. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to tarry there until you be endued and receive the power from on high. Now, if this were not a definite and a distinct experience, the disciples would not have known whether they have completed Christ's command. They wouldn't have known. It is a separate and distinct experience. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and you tarry until what? Until you receive that power, until you are endued with that power. Well, how are we going to know? You'll know. Come on. And they knew. They knew that when the power fell, folks, the rushing mighty wind blew through that place, and it filled all of them that were in the house, and it looked as cloven tongues of fire upon each of them, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. You see, if it were not a definite and distinct experience, they would not have known. We're done here. They've still been there. The promise was fulfilled. 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the promise of the Father. And folks, and the faithful ones who had obeyed and waited in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, Peter's sermon declared, this is it. This is the fulfillment of the promise. The biblical record in the book of Acts indicates that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the disciples, and other women and brethren in there received the promise of the Father. Come on, hallelujah. Worship him. Distinct, separate experience. You see, in Acts 8, it tells a revival in Samaria where Philip preached and many believed. Many were baptized. But later, folks, the apostles laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. It was a separate and distinct experience. Acts 9, Saul of Tarsus was led to Ananias. 3 days later, Ananias laid hands on him and prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, the whole household of Cornelius sat And listen, as Peter preached the gospel unto them, while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 19, Paul found certain disciples in Ephesus who didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. Paul laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the promise. What about you? Have you desired the promise tonight? Come on, hallelujah. Have you experienced Pentecost tonight? Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Peter, the promise is unto you. Let us not be satisfied until we receive the promise. Amen. Folks, let us reach out. Let's stand here tonight. Let us reach out, amen, with arms open wide in faith. And let us say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit tonight. God, I must have the promise. Amen. I want the promise. I desire the promise tonight. Hallelujah. Do you have your Pentecost experience? Do you have Pentecost promise? Is it evident in you tonight that you have the power of the Holy Ghost? You see, Peter was a man who denied the Lord three times. He swore, I would never deny you. Lord, you know I love you. But see, once he got his Pentecostal promise, once he received the power, hallelujah, come on, it made a difference in his life. Amen? Let me tell you something, folks. You can shut down the spirit in you. It's sensitive. God's not going to force you. You know? You can sit there in your pew or stand there in your pew, and you can, and God's not going to say, come get that arm off of there, right? Get off of there and put it up here. Has God ever done that to anybody here? I didn't think so. He's not going to yank you out of the pew and throw you up in the front up here. We've all, many of us here, we've got that promise tonight, don't we? I think we need to let it flow. We need to let it do its thing. Come on. Come on. We need to let the Holy Ghost have its way. How about it tonight, folks? Can we be Pentecostal in this house tonight? If you're here and you need the Holy Ghost, you can have it. Come on. It said that they gladly received it. Come on.
Salvation in
Come on.
The
let's let the Holy Ghost. Let's let the power of the promise have its way tonight. Is there anybody who wants to be Pentecostal tonight? Come on. Come on up, folks. Let's come on up. Worship the Lord. Let God have his way. Come on.